Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Job went through what he went through because God wanted to show his greatness through Job, but Satan wanted to destroy him. Satan and God working together. There are difficulties, hardships, maybe even Satan attacking, but God is using it to do what God wants to do in your life.
What the enemy meant for evil, God uses for good. It's from Genesis 50:20 and the life of Joseph. Bad things are going to happen in the life of the believer. Count on it. But God can and often does use those bad things for his good, to further his kingdom. We are in our series Combat Zone as we continue our teaching on the sword of the Spirit. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson's, in Ephesians chapter 6.
Adding to, watering down, God's word always leads to trouble. I don't know how much trouble. I think for some, great trouble. For some, maybe not as much. But certainly, it's an area we want to stay away from. We want to know why God said what he said. Never have there been more tools to find the context, the idioms of the Old Testament, the New Testament, why one version will use one word, why another version will use another word. Never has there been a time where we can study God's word and know it better than today. And there's no reason to get stuck in the King James only version, by the way. And if you're King James only and you're here, I'm going to just let me come after this just a little bit, okay? I'm not going to come after it a bunch. I'm just going to say, what about people that live in China? What are they going to do without the King James only Bible? They have to have a Bible that's in Chinese. It just seems to me that getting stuck into something written in 1611 and saying that's the only really way to hear from God. No, we get the manuscripts where God's word comes from. Robert at CalvaryTucson.com if you want to have a longer conversation about that, all right? Robert at CalvaryTucson.com because I can't get more into it. We have brand new findings every year of new manuscripts that help us understand what was originally written better and better. Now, adding and watering down the word of God always leads to trouble. I got a few verses here I'm going to skip. Sorry. Now, once Eve loosened her grip on what God had said, Satan flat out denied it. So once Eve was like changing it, he's like, I've got her. Once you go, well, I agree with the Bible, but I don't agree with this. Satan's, now he's got an in. No, I believe what the Bible said. I might have a misunderstanding. Someone else might have a misunderstanding. But I'm going to live what I find here, not what I find here. Because here will deceive me. Here is the truth that sets me free. Once Satan figured out where she was, Genesis 3, 4, and 5, the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. She hadn't said nothing about dying. She said, lest we die. Now he goes back and quotes God's word exactly as it is. You won't surely die. How often is the Bible actually denied? For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. When you're searching your own heart, when you're finding your own way, then your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Wait a minute. That's what Satan wanted. It says in Isaiah that Satan wanted to be like God, that he wanted his throne to be on high like God. The reason he fell is because he wanted to be like God. This is what the world wants. This is what we're facing today in our culture. The culture says, I'm God, or that tree is God. We're all God together, they say. It's the same exact lies that we had all the way back in Genesis. Okay, listen, you are not God. And if you're part of the prosperity movement, you are not God. You are his creation, made in the image of God. he made them. It says male and female. If you're a man, if you're a woman, you are made in the image of God. But you still have a sin nature, and your feelings still change. And so we hold on to what the Word of God says. So he tells the woman, you surely shall not die, but God doesn't want you eating. Now he's slandering God. God doesn't want you eating this fruit because he knows the day you eat it, you're going to know good and evil. God wanted to keep them from that. Listen, God wanted to keep their innocence. He didn't want their innocence taken from them. Such a wickedness happening in the world today. You guys know that over the border came over 300,000 children that were unidentified. Let's just call it the last 4 years. Those children are missing. They were used by people that wanted to take the innocence from the kids. That's what Satan does. Satan wants to take our innocence. He wants to expose us to things that God would rather us not be exposed to. And so he said, God doesn't want you to know good and evil. Don't answer me this question. Just think about this question to yourself. Are there things you wish you would have never heard? I can tell you there are things I wish I never heard. Even here recently, my wife has read me a couple things and I've said, please don't read me things like that anymore. There are things I don't want to know about how wicked this world is and about the wicked things that the world is doing. So God said, don't eat of the tree of good and evil. God knew what was good for them. They ate of the tree and here we are. We know good and we know evil. We know more than we want to know at all. Now let's move forward in this because I have to. Let's move forward to the temptation of Jesus. Before Jesus was led in the wilderness, God the Father had spoken a powerful word over him. He was baptized by John the Baptist. And that was identifying with us. He didn't do it because he had sin. He did it to identify with you and me. He's going to identify in the cross with us as well. And so he's baptized. And when he comes up out of the water, the Spirit descends on him like a dove. He's the Son of God. The Spirit of God descends on him like a dove. And God the Father says from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, think about being Jesus. When Jesus was born and laid in that manger, he didn't know he was God. He was a baby that didn't know anything. He had to learn and grow in wisdom and understanding, as it says in the book of Luke. Mary didn't have the child wrapped up in swaddling clothes, put in the manger, and Jesus go, Mom, Dad, don't freak out. I know everything that's going to happen. I got you guys covered. Jesus had to go through doubts as he was reading Isaiah, as he was going through Jeremiah. He had to start thinking, am I the Messiah? Am I the chosen of God? Am I the fulfillment of these passages? And now a voice from heaven, you are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. There is, yes, I am who I thought I was. This must have been, no one else ever went through this particular difficulty. Jesus gets it. Now the temptation, Matthew 3, 16 and 17. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him, and suddenly a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then we're told the Spirit drove him to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It's an odd thing. The Spirit working with the devil. The Spirit driving him to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Satan had a certain plan for the temptation. God had a plan for the temptation. We see this throughout Scripture. We see that Paul is given a thorn in his flesh from the enemy that God gave him to keep him humble because of the greatness of his call. Satan had a reason for the thorn in the flesh, but God had a purpose for the thorn in the flesh. I could give you Job went through what he went through because God wanted to show his greatness through Job, but Satan wanted to destroy him. Satan and God working together. There are difficulties, hardships, maybe even Satan attacking, but God is using it to do what God wants to do in your life. Now, I've said it before in this message, whole nother sermon, okay? But I just want to stop and pause to think about that. The Spirit drives him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Matthew 4:3. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. Is it any wonder that Satan came saying, if you are the Son of God? What's the last thing that he heard before he was driven into the wilderness? You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, you think now because you heard that you're the Son of God? You do? Well, then take this bread and turn it into, take this rock and turn it into bread. Now, what's so bad about that, by the way? We say, well, what's the sin then about taking rocks to turn into bread? Because Jesus didn't come to gratify himself. He didn't come to satisfy his hunger. Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. For those of you that have gone through the diet of keto, which I won't have you raise your hand, but for those of you who have, you stop eating carbs, your body starts eating your fat in your body, that's ketosis. It's a little bit iffy, and I gotta tell you why, because you stop eating carbs, takes 2 days for the carbs to get out of your system. I've gone through the diet before, okay? So this is how I know. Takes 2 days for the carbs to get out of your system, and all you're eating is fat, right? You're pouring olive oil on your salad. You're putting MCT oil on everything. You're eating bacon. It's the most delicious diet of all time, the keto diet. You're eating bacon, you're eating cheese, you're eating fatty brisket, you're just going to town on it. You take your test and you show that you're in ketosis. The thing is, you've been eating fat and you've done that for like a week now, all the carbs are gone, so all your body's eating is this, and it says in the little thing, you're in ketosis, and now those selling that diet go, you're in ketosis, you're eating your body. Well, maybe. But you're probably eating the fat. Your body's eating the fat you're eating. You're putting fat in your body. Your body's eating it. No wonder you're in ketosis. You just ate a bunch of fat. You eat 3,000 calories of fat a day. And you say, now I'm in ketosis. I'm going to lose weight. I'm not saying the diet doesn't work, okay? I'm not saying any of those things. All I'm saying is it doesn't surprise us. So Jesus, why am I wasting my time on this? Jesus... How do I put this tactfully? Jesus lived off the fat of the land for 40 days or 40 nights. His body went and started eating his fat reserves. He went into ketosis. By the way, when you're anorexic and you're not eating, you're just starving yourself, you go into ketosis as well. That's why your breath starts to smell so bad because of the ketosis that's happening. Jesus is hungry again, which means he's ate his reserves. And now his body's looking for something else. And the enemy says, if you're the Son of God, then turn this bread into, this rocks into bread and eat them. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the breath of God. It's like he knew we were gonna use this in this study. Jesus didn't have the power so that he could get what he wanted for him. People aren't given a pulpit or a ministry to get something for them. The preachers that say to you, you give money to me and you're going to get rich. I heard a pastor say to a sick man one time, you give money to me and God's going to heal you. That's just sick. It's disgusting. It's unbiblical, massively. God heals. I believe that. But God never said he would heal everybody. Not if you give money to these guys. For sure. I'm so tempted to name them. So Jesus wasn't going to use this to serve himself. So Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so then he takes him up onto the pinnacle of the temple. So Satan has this power to take Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So Jesus could have gone and showed everybody that he was God by standing on the pinnacle of the temple and jumping off and floating to the ground. Or better yet, jumping off and landing on the ground like Hitch. That would have been the real way to show up. Wham! The Son of God. That's who I am. What the enemy left out is here in Psalms 191:11. It says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you." Here's what the enemy left out: to keep you in all your ways. He's trying to do to Jesus what he did to Eve. He's going to keep you in all your ways. It wasn't in Jesus' ways to jump off the temple and show people he was the Messiah. It was his way to rise from the dead, to show people that he was the Messiah, not to jump off the pinnacle. I have an appointment with God. The Bible says it's appointed once for man to die, and then comes judgment. I have an appointment on the day I will die. I don't know what day that will be, but I have that appointment. Now, let's just say that you and I are standing out and we're right by the freeway. And we're talking about the appointment to die. And I tell you, I can't die. Watch this. And I step in front of a semi. Splat, drag. The semi takes me away. What happens in heaven the very next moment? God says, "You're early. You moved your appointment up. It's not for enough. 15 years and you're here." This is why Jesus responds, Matthew 7:11. Jesus said to him, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." So yes, God has an appointment for all of us. But don't go doing something stupid, because you're going to tempt the Lord your God, right? So finally, Deuteronomy 6:16, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him." I'm not sure what I'm saying there, but I am sure with the last temptation. This is Matthew 4:8-9. "Again, the devil took him to an exceedingly high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of the world in their glory, and said to him, 'All of these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.'" Jesus is going to receive all the kingdoms of the world. He is the Messiah. He is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem the entire world. In the book of Revelation, which I understand is hard to understand, in the book of Revelation, the one on the throne has a 7-sealed scroll. The Lamb that was slain, that redeemed us by his blood, takes the scroll, opens the 7 seals on the scroll. In opening the 7th seal, there are 7 trumpets. These are all part of the 7th seal. As the 7th trumpet is sounded, the 7th trumpet says this. It says, I'm out of order with my notes, so let me find it. The 7th seal says, this is Revelation 11:15. "Then the 7th seal sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" What did Satan do when he said, "Bow down and worship me and I'll give you the kingdoms of the world"? A shortcut. You don't got to go to the cross. You don't got to go listen to what those disciples are going to say, because it's going to be weird and tough on you. You're going to say to them, "How long do I have to be with you?" That you still don't get it. You don't have to go through any of that. I'm going to give you the kingdoms of the world now. What Jesus wouldn't have was you and me. Because when he redeemed, he didn't redeem the world. He redeemed the people of the world. Follow me quickly on this. Ruth is redeemed by Boaz. Not because Boaz wants Ruth's land, but because he loves Ruth. So Boaz marries Ruth and redeems the land for Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, because of his love for Ruth. The land, the earth, is redeemed because God loves you and me. In Romans chapter 8, it says that the world groans, listen to this, waiting for the redemption of the sons of God. The world is waiting for our redemption because the world will be redeemed when you and I are redeemed. And so the devil says, you can have the kingdoms of the world now if you bow down and worship me. It's a shortcut. But what he wouldn't have is that God demonstrated his love for you and me while we were still sinners, that he died for us. Jesus didn't come to redeem this world. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Him redeeming the world so he can rule from it is part of his redemption for you and me. And so in Matthew 4:10, Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. So what you want to say to Satan when he's changing God's word, when he's adding to God's word, when he's giving you shortcuts, away with me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. I won't bow down and worship you, not even for the kingdoms of this world and all their glory. I will stay true to him. What will you compromise? What will you compromise and affect your relationship with God? Will you make a stand like Jesus that says, I will not give up anything at all because of this? There's so much that we can learn from this. How do I know there's so much we can learn? Because I'm going through my notes on all the things that we could talk about and learn from what's here. But I'll close with this thought. Every good, James tells us this. After telling us about sin, we're enticed by sin and we give into it. And sin, once it's produced in us, it brings about death. Then it says this. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything you need, does it come from your feelings? Does it come from here? It comes down from the Father of lights. And when you are tempted, Satan will tempt you to rewrite God's word. It's okay because, and you manipulate because he's manipulated you. But when you hold to God's word, saying, I want to know what God says. I want to rightly divide the word of God. I don't want to take away from it, and I don't want to add to it. I don't want to be a liberal that believes everything is okay. And I don't want to be a fundamentalist that adds a bunch of rules that aren't there. I want to know what the scripture says so I can live what God says. Because Jesus said, thy word is truth. And he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I want the freedom that comes, the freedom away from Robert Furrow's feelings and towards the word of God, and knowing that's my weapon. That's the sword. I have my armor on, and now I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.